With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Well, Thursday, pro football is back with the Spring League on FS1. The season kicks off with a big doubleheader as the Alphas take on the Aviators at 7 Eastern. Then the Conquerors battle the Linemen at 10 Eastern. It all begins Thursday night on FS1 and the Fox Sports app. Kamaru Usman successfully defended his UFC welterweight title against Jorge Masvidal 10 days ago with a second-round knockout. Well, speculation has already begun with who Usman is expected to fight next. And joining us now, Kamaru Usman himself. Welcome. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm going to get straight to the important question. Who do you want to fight next? Kamaru, you got me okay?
Yes, I got you.
All right. Well, we just chatted a little bit. Of course, thank you for joining us. We talked a little bit about your big win, your big knockout. But the question is, I'm jumping right to it. Who do you want to fight next?
It's a good question. It's one of those situations where I've kind of been through each and every guy. And at the top right now, it's you got to find that guy. As scary as it is, as you know, just anxiety filled as that is, but that's what keeps us alive. It's that next guy that's going to make you go, oh, you know, I feel something. I got to get up. I got to train. I got to really get motivated and go out there and face my fears again and go out there and defeat them. And right now I really don't truly see any one of those guys. I think I've kind of come through the division and I've kind of ripped through these guys one by one. And right now, it's just a matter of me getting motivated again to do it all over again.
So, Kamaru, speaking of motivation, you said right after the Masvidal fight that you thanked him for really scaring you into being fully motivated for that fight. So going in, did you have any thought anywhere in the very back of your mind, I'm going to knock out a guy who's never been knocked out before?
Absolutely. I think it's one of those after the first fight, obviously just I wasn't satisfied. And you guys played a role in that. I know you guys might not think we see this, but we see this. I see this. I seen you guys debate this. I see you guys had him on the show when he was talking, jiving and doing all this, talking about he was going to do this and baptize me and do all of that. And you guys went right along with it. Yeah, you know, okay.
Not me.
You can do that. You can do that. And he went out there and the results didn't materialize. And I feel like people kind of was a little let down because people really wanted a definitive closure to that chapter. And I didn't feel that myself. I didn't feel like I really put that stamp on it. And so that's why I said it. I wanted it again. I wanted to right that wrong. I don't want to leave a fight feeling like I didn't get in the fight. I trained to be in a fight, to get out there and feel that violence. I trained for that, and I didn't feel it through the first one, which is why we had to do it all over again. And I think this time I put that stamp on it. I let him know that you said you wanted violence. And I gave you some violence.
So you weren't at all surprised that your right hand got completely through, landed flush on his jaw, and knocked the man cold?
Yeah, I think I've been training it. I know I'm starting to get better. And that's what I say to these guys. I'm really starting to find my stride. and start to grow as a mixed martial artist, grow within my skills, but just grow mentally. Because by the time you step in there, a large part of it is not necessarily, you know, physically what you train. It's mentally how you train, because I don't just play the skills. I play the man. And at this point, I'm still growing and I'm starting to hit that stride. And my right hand, if it touch you, it'll definitely turn the lights out.
Kamaru, you look at it, but the thing is about knocking someone out, you have to open yourself up. You have to become vulnerable. And with your skills as a wrestler, you feel you can take anyone down and then, you know, stall them out in that aspect. So in order for you to land that punch, you had to open yourself up. But I watched something that you did. He said he thought you was going to shoot a takedown and he underestimated you. But you knocked his right hand down with your left glove. Because were you expecting him to throw something back? Because when you throw a punch, you leave yourself open to receive a punch.
Absolutely. He's very crafty. He's a very skilled guy, which is why no one has ever been able to do that to him like that. He's very well versed and skilled. And in the first round, he kind of showed me that. His reflexes are very, very quick. He's kind of like a boxer. He likes to roll and roll punches off his chin. Mm-hmm. And I saw that. And that's, we trained for that with my coach, Trevor Whitman. That's one of the things that we worked on is going through him. Everything that I wanted to throw is technically sound, but I want to get through him. I want to let him know that I'm just, every punch is with bad intentions. And in that one, I kind of set him up. We started flowing after that first round. I let that rust go. And I said, all right, it's time to get gritty. It's time to get down to it. And I was ready to bang at that point. And so whatever he was going to throw at me, I was going to take it. And I'm coming with heavy shots and basically letting them know right now that you need to respect what I do on my feet as well as the takedowns as well. And I showed him a lot of takedowns in that first round. I kept showing it to him. And so it programs in the mind and you think that's what I'm going to do. And then I come over the top with the right hand and it's good night.
So you decided that you were going to sit down on all your punches. Like, you're going to feel every punch that I throw. It's not the tap, the kick, you know, he's tapping me, but he's really going to try and take me down. You're like, I'm sitting down on these punches. I'm trying to get you out of here, bro.
Absolutely. I needed to get him out of there. I didn't feel like people would have been satisfied.
Right.
Yep.
If I just went out there and put a 5-round beating on him, the people would not be satisfied with that. People want someone's head. They either want my head, which the majority of them did. They wanted my head, or it had to be his head. And that one, I had to go out there and definitely knock his head off in order for the people to walk away from that feeling satisfied.
Hmm. So back to future opponents. Is Conor McGregor even a possibility for you? And if it did materialize, what would happen?
Get him, Kamaru. Get him.
I say this with all humbleness. It's not a possibility, and that's not on my part. I've showed that I've let people know that I'm ready for anybody, anytime, anywhere. And Conor, that's not a possibility because I've offered him the fight before. Mm. And the first time, my fight with Masvidal was over the whole last year. They were trying to put that fight together, and it wasn't coming to fruition. It just wasn't materializing. And Conor ran his mouth a little bit, said that 170 belt is looking good to him. And I say, here you go. Come get it. I'm giving you the shot. Masvidal don't want to fight. It's your shot. You can go on my Twitter and look at my Twitter timeline. It was one. I tweeted him and I said, you have the shot. Conor, if you want it, come get it. He was radio silence. He went a couple of days. I didn't see him tweet. I ain't hear nothing from him.
So are then you saying Conor later, McGregor is afraid of you?
I, at the end of the day, I'm not going to use that word afraid, but I think Conor is a very smart man and resourceful man, and he knows his ability. And he knows if I'm going to walk into a cage with a lion, that lion about to do something to me. So you know what? I'm going to stand outside the cage and I'm going to make fun and I'm going to talk to the lion.
He just want to rattle the cage. He don't want to get in the cage, huh? He want to rattle the cage.
He want to rattle the cage. You want to stand on the outside and shake the cage and back up. Shake the cage and back up. He don't want to get inside and close the cage door and see what's going to happen. You don't want to do that.
Kamaru, there's a lot said about pound for pound. Khabib, that might be an interesting fight. Would that be a fight you would take? But pound for pound, where do you think you stand? John Jones hadn't fought in over a year. Khabib hadn't fought in a long period of time. I think it's a two-man woman race between you and Amanda Nunes. Where do you think you should be ranked on that pound-for-pound list?
I think so, too. I think Amanda Nunes is a phenomenal champion, and she's shown, I mean, two-division champion, doing her thing back and forth, defending those belts. She's probably, right now, I would say, the greatest female fighter we've ever seen.
Yes, I would agree.
As far as myself, I think right now, pound for pound, I am the best in the world, minus the absence of Khabib. I am the best in the world. John hadn't fought in a long time, which, big respect to John. John, overall, career-wise, what John has done, phenomenal. You can't dispute that. But right now, pound for pound in the world, I can get it done everywhere, every aspect of the sport, I can get it done. And in my whole career, I could count on one hand how many rounds you could say, that was close. He might have lost that one. I could count on one hand. So I don't believe anybody dominates like myself. And that's why I said it. I mean, I'm so far ahead of these guys. These guys got to show me something now. They got to show me something. They got to let me know, hey, you can fight me. I'm ready now to challenge you. I'm ready to step in there and challenge you. So these guys need to show me something.
Mm. So one last question. You did grow up in Dallas, Texas. Are the Cowboys going to next year's Super Bowl?
Well, Skip, why are you going to do that to me? Skip, you can't do that to me. You put me in a situation right now. You can't do that to me. I love the Cowboys. The Cowboys, I grew up watching them. The things that Jerry Jones has done with that team, good or bad, they've definitely made the Cowboys a household name. So, you know, my heart and love will always be with the Cowboys.
Yeah.
But
I think that's a big no. So
no, exactly.
Whoa, Skip. I didn't say that, Skip. Don't put that on me now. Don't put that on me, Skip.
We need that Conor McGregor fight. Yep. I need you to beat the brakes off it.
Oh, Kamaru. That was it. You ask him about the Cowboys, Skip, and he's done. That's just how it works. Oh, he's back. Kamaru, we so appreciate your time. Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for chatting. And obviously, we are looking forward to learning what you decide to do next. And best of luck.
No mercy.
The Knicks got a 118-104 win against the Grizzlies last night, and that means the Knicks clinched their first winning season since 2013. New York has also now climbed all the way up to the fourth spot in the East after winning 12 of their last 13. And now the one and only Knicks superfan, Michael Rappaport, is joining us now. Mike, I guess I've known you for the last, 3 years on this show. You've been waiting for this moment. Yeah. Are the Knicks for real?
The Knicks are definitely for real. And I've come on this show and I've articulated my pain, my agony. It's been rough. We've had Jeff Hornacek as a coach. We had Kurt Rambis somehow, some way as a coach. We had Derek Fisher as a coach. We have a bluesman, a blues guitar player as an owner, who humiliated one of the most beloved figures in New York sports, Charles Oakley. Mm. We've dealt with all of that. I've dealt with all of that. My father, the fans of New York have dealt with all that. But the pandemic, people were saying that New York was dead for the last 20 years. They were saying that the New York Knicks were gone. They were done. It wasn't a cool place to play anymore. It's shocking to me. It's shocking to everybody. But the Knicks are for real. They're in the fourth, they're the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. They won 12 out of 13 games. I'll say it again: 12 out of 13 games. They're not scared to play anybody. They're not impressed with anybody. They believe in each other. Okay, they're not on Instagram. They're not worrying about playing tournaments because they secured their playoff spot. Okay, they're not complaining about playoff games. They're a workman-like team with Julius Randle, who is not a flashy player. He is in full bloom. He's not a human highlight film. He's not a crossover guy. He's not a dunker. He's the leader. And this team resonates the same way the great teams of the 70s, the championship team, resonated with New York, and the same way the 90s Knicks resonated, because they play with their head down. They're not complaining. They're not flashy. They're underappreciated and they're underdogs. This is almost like the Rocky Balboa of the NBA. And in my opinion, this Knicks team winning 12 out of 13 is the greatest story in sports we have going right now. And nobody, Joel Embiid, okay, the Nets, the Atlanta Hawks, whoever sneaks into the eighth seed, nobody wants to face the New York Knicks in a playoff tournament in a seven-game series because they play hard every single night. There's no big three. They call themselves the Big 15. And it's great to see. And I'll say it again. I'm shocked. I am shocked that they won the last 12 out of 13. I am shocked that they've been so consistent, so gritty this year. Their starting lineup, for the most part, is Elfrid Payton, RJ Barrett, Nerlens Noel, Reggie Bullock, and Julius Randle. This is like the island of broken toys, okay? No one would have expected team 12 of the last 13 games, but they've done it, and they've done it in a great New York way. And like I said, when people were saying New York is dead, New York is back, and Knicks basketball is back, and we deserve it. New York Knicks fans deserve it, and they are making the Garden cool. When everybody, when those stars said, we're not coming to New York, it's not a cool place, well, now it's a cool place, and it's setting the temperature going forward. And thank God we deserve it. Knicks fans deserve it.
First of all, I need you to slow down a bit, okay? You're speeding. Right now, you're going like 85 and a 35, which will get you a major citation. They're actually going to take you to jail for that. Second of all, no. Yeah, could you win a first round series if you get Atlanta, which is the 5 seed currently? Yes, you can beat them, but that's where the buck stops. You're not beating Milwaukee. You're not beating Philly. You're not beating the Brooklyn Nets. And you talk about, oh, we don't celebrate anything. First of all, when you haven't eaten in a long time, you don't complain about the meal that you get. You're just happy that you got a meal. Just be happy you're in the playoffs. You over there talking about, oh, we going to win a ring. You're not winning anything, Michael Rappaport, okay?
I didn't say anything about rings. Yesterday, you were in tears almost. I almost saw you shed a tear about a play-in tournament.
That's beneath us.
About a play-in tournament, man. We ain't worried about a play-in tournament. We're on the rope right now. We made the Rockets look like the G League team they
really?
Are.
Really?
John Morant got ejected from the game because they play tenacious defense. They play gritty defense. They play as a team with a guy, with a bunch of guys, aside from Julius Randle. I mean, John Morant got thrown out of the game last night. Taj Gibson was out of the league. He was out of the league. Nerlens Noel has been on every single team in this. He started the trust the process thing. We never thought we would have done it. Thibodeau is like a mad scientist. And I'll say it for a third time. If you guys ever thought in my wildest dreams that in May of 2021, I thought I would come on here to gloat and to be happy about the New York.
Exactly.
I never thought it. And this is a team with soul. This is a team with heart. This is a team with grit. And it's a team that represents the five boroughs, unlike that soulless big three out there in Brooklyn who can't even figure out what lineup they're going to start every single night. You think they want to come to the Garden and play against the New York Knicks? I'm telling you, this is like a baby 90s New York Knicks team. They're a freight train, and it's the greatest story in sports right now. And I don't know why you're talking about a team that may not get into the playoffs every single day, Shannon. You need to focus your energy, diversify your thoughts, because your guys might not even make it into the playoffs, let alone that play-in tournament.
Let's give speak. He's tired of talking about that freight train. Y'all a caboose. Y'all ain't no train. You're a caboose.
Shannon, You do not want me to speak, because I will publicly admit I am with Michael Rappaport.
Of course you are.
This.
Of course you are.
The New York Knicks are finally legit. They have a real head coach who coaches and teaches defense at the highest level. They are ranked fourth in defensive efficiency, and they're starting to threaten Utah for third in defensive efficiency. How your Lakers are still first, I don't know.
First.
I don't know how.
Us.
Yeah, okay, fine. But you've got a Julius Randle. Listen, I thought you undersold him, Michael. He's 24-10-6. Those are all career highs. I think he's a legit star in this league. Mm-hmm. He's shooting 43% from three. Julius Randle, are you kidding? RJ Barrett is a nice complimentary star. And then who is this guy, Derrick Rose, coming off your bench every night?
He's
scoring
crazy.
17, 18, 20 points. He's only 32. I thought he'd been in the league like 17 years.
It feels like
he's older than LeBron is, but he is playing young. So it's legit. You will beat Atlanta in the first round, and I wouldn't doubt it if you took Philly to maybe seven games in round two of the playoffs?
I got ice tray. If they play the Hawks, I got ice tray.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll take some
tray
of that.
You can take your whatever you want on the tray. You're going to need a medical tray. I like ice tray. He's underrated. I don't know why he's not on those top under 25 lists. The Atlanta Hawks ain't beating the New York Knicks in the Garden.
No.
One of the biggest tragedies today, they haven't been able to pack it up for the greatest fans in the world, in the greatest, most famous sports arena, in the Garden, and the Garden will be eaten. Trust me, in the playoffs, the Garden will be eaten once again. And we ain't worried about the second round, Shannon. See, this is why you're jumping into finals. You're jumping into Western Conference Finals. That's why you're worried about a play-in tournament. We put our head down. We treat every game like it's an important game. We ain't resting players. Julius Randle plays the most minutes in the NBA. And let's talk about Julius Randle. He's beyond the most improved player in the league. I don't think that award is worthy of him. He's definitely an NBA of second teamer, if not maybe a first teamer. If you really want to get down to the nuts and bolts, he should absolutely be in the MVP conversation. It's a beautiful thing for New York City. And like I said, New York deserves it. And this is a team that represents New York. Okay, this is a team that represents everything that is great about New York. Hard-nosed, tough, workmanlike, with a little flash, just like those 70 Knicks with Earl the Pearl and Walt Clyde Frazier in the backcourt. This is a great story. This is a great, tough, hard-nosed team. And if you think Joel Embiid wants to come to New York for a seven-game series, you're crazy.
Okay. So one last question, and I'm serious about this. Are you sure you want your Knicks to win big because you're going to lose your sympathy card? You won't be able to cry about your Knicks anymore.
Listen, if I didn't want them to win big, they're going to win big. They don't listen. They're not listening to me. They're not listening to you guys, respectfully. They're not listening to Jenny, the MVP. They're not listening to any of the noise. They're listening to their coach. They're listening to each other. They love playing with each other. They love playing in New York. And it's great. We are New York, and we love basketball. And if you're going to come in here, you better be 10 feet tall.
Oh, Mike, you have stayed loyal to those Knicks over the last couple years. You could not have come any closer to the screen there. You got your points. Well received. We appreciate your time. Always great to have you, and we will check in very soon. No mercy.